This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater. Check that. Sorry. Take two. Hey, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. A podcast that pushes play on your favorite movies and scenes that are just so much fun. That's what this is all about. The fun we have in our theaters. Is that better, Tom? Been through puberty, working things out here, but hey. All kidding aside, I'm DJ, and you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always talk to us, talk to everybody on the comment section on the website at BrightsideHomeTheater.com. This comment section's underneath each of the episodes, under each of the featured home theaters. You can reach everybody there. Leave comments, especially to the people that are submitting their theaters, putting themselves out there. They love to hear those comments. But back to that open. Hey, what happened last week? We had the big Thankful on Infinite podcast event, and I was assigned the opening. And you can imagine, if you've heard it, you heard me. And yeah, I was nervous. I was very nervous sitting there with all of those guys. As Lee said, there they are, Ara and Brayden, right in front of him. It was overwhelming, but it was a blast. I hope everybody had fun listening to it. I'll get to more of that in a second. But hey, this is week 48 of 2020, and we have a really cool theater to feature this week from Darnell. And this week's movie, if you're paying attention on Twitter, it's a holiday special to me to kick off the month of December. We have Batman Returns from 1992 in glorious 4K. I won't bury the lead there. It is beautiful. I can't wait to get to it for you guys. If you haven't picked it up, again, pick it up. Definitely. You'll hear it when I talk about it. But let's get to what's been going on since the last time we talked. Like I said, Thankful on Infinite podcast event. That was a big deal. It was a huge deal for me, obviously. The notes and emails and messages I've been getting of gratitude are just amazing. It's like, it's funny. If you listen to the AV Ramp podcast, which I know most of you do, if not all of you, they thank everybody every week for the notes and messages. And I'm starting to get those because people are starting to send them over my way. And it is so appreciated. I was included on a few emails this week with all of the guys in the Thankful on Infinite podcast event. To be included in that and hearing, getting an email where people are saying, I've been listening to AV Rant for years. I've been listening to HT guys for years. And DJ, I'm new to you this year. Well, yeah, DJ's new this year. So thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Just to be included with these guys is really amazing. It's a credit to them too. They've been doing it forever. They could have shunned me aside like, hey, you need a little more time, buddy. And to give me the open like that, I think I at least entertained, if nothing else, if you didn't get a chuckle out of my cracking voice at the beginning. But yeah, it's nerve wracking, but I'm learning so much from them. There's stuff going on behind the scenes they've been teaching me that's really, really helping with my podcast, with me in general. I do this by myself, and to get that support from them, and then of course from you guys as listeners, just sending me the support, it's awesome. Whether it's an email, whether it's a tweet, just saying great podcast, whatever, it's awesome, and I really, really appreciate it. It's been a great 2 weeks off, very relaxing. Spent a lot of time in my theater. I'm gonna spill the beans. That big project I've been working on, I can't wait to give you the whole podcast about it. But it is, I got as a PD, and it changes your theater. And I'll get into it when I eventually do the podcast. But this being the holiday, see, I wanted to be doing it at like next week, but I'm not sure. We have Lee Overstreet's coming up next week. So, but the Zapiti, it really is changing my enjoyment of my theater. And Rob mentioned it a few weeks ago on AV Rant. Somebody had a very, very nice theater, pretty much had everything and was looking for an upgrade. And it really is, as a quick overview, if you've got everything that you think you could have, the next thing is a Meteor server. And it really does change everything in your theater. It's like, I literally have a folder with all 23 Marvel movies in it, the MCU, and I can scroll through it, and I've just gone through every single movie, and I'll get into the nitty-gritty of the Zapiti. By the time I'm done, I would expect most people would be like very interested in it, if not just going out and getting one. I'm having a blast with it, but it is difficult at times. It can be. Most of it was user error. But again, I'll get more into that. But back into the Thankful on Infinite podcast event. Got some messages that I just had to share. And these are excerpts. One's from Andy, sent an email to the group. And he said at the end of his email, he said, if I might make a suggestion, would it be possible for you gents to do this twice a year? Say once around July 4th and another around Thanksgiving. I would hate to wait a whole another year to enjoy the banter and the inside jokes within each podcast. Cheers to you all. And thanks, Andy. I would love to do that. Not sure if that's going to be possible with vacations and people traveling. I don't think it's anything on our part. If we can pull it off, we would absolutely pull it off. Every single one of us enjoyed the Thanksgiving event. We all love hanging out. Obviously, those guys all love hanging. They hang out with each other every week. Of course, I would love to have them all back, and I would love to get to hang out with them again, and I know they would too. But if we can't do that twice a year, know this, I'm already in the works to have each and every one of them back on this show as a place to hang out, because this is the bright side of home theater. And we hang out, talk about what we've done in our theaters, and I want all throughout the year to offer that opportunity to them to come here, because they spend their weeks breaking down everybody else's theaters. And this, I think, is why I started the podcast. This is the other side. This is what we do when we're in our theaters, and I give them an opportunity. I know they've had a blast coming here. Rob's come twice. We already have plans for a third time. Tom and I are talking. He's coming back. I know the HT guys are coming back. And it's just fun to hang out and talk shop, talk what we do in our theaters. And so just know that that is coming throughout the year. It's so much fun. But I also got an email from Carl, or I should say we all got an email from Carl. Another guy, great guy, mentions that he's new to the podcast. Well, the podcast is new. So thanks for joining in, Carl. I appreciate it. He talked about going to the theater. And he had some great comments that I was going to email him back, but I figured I'd save it for here. He is a listener. So he had commented on how much he misses going to the theater. And he said, here, I'll just read it. He said, just a quick comment on theaters. It has really depressed me how long it has been since we have been in the theater. Elizabeth and I still really love that experience. We love the cinema as destination spaces that currently can't be reproduced at home. The endless and amazing film festivals, Alamo Drafthouse events that have been going on for decades, from 70mm to the old Quentin Tarantino festivals back in the day. The newly renovated Laser IMAX here in Austin, Texas, that is a 10 minute walk from our home, and I think is the second largest in the U.S. and one of the most comfortable theaters we've ever been to. It is just a remarkable space. Before IL-19, the IMAX was a biweekly staple for us, and it will be again, I am certain. The Dolby Cinema here in Austin is also just a remarkable destination space, and so far it is not going anywhere, so we are eager to return soon. Austin has always been a bit of a catalyst for the U.S. theater technologies, in that when the first Dolby Digital SDDS, DTS, Surround EX films were released, at least one or two Austin theaters had the said systems installed, and E and I were always the first in line for the opening nights. And what I thought was great about that, now it's me. And what I thought was great about that comment and why I wanted to comment on it is when you heard the six of us talking about going back to the theaters, one of the things we mentioned was the theaters have to offer us something more. And not just the six of us, but the general public. And they need to get us back because, one, we can do something in our homes that can replicate and a lot of times surpass what we get in the theater. And this whole Wonder Woman 1984 event coming up on Christmas Day is really going to kind of drive that home, especially now with HBO Max going to 4K with Dolby Atmos and HDR and Dolby Vision and all of the, you know, HDR 10 plus, or I think it's HDR 10. But anyways, what we can get in our home is pretty close. But everything that Carl mentioned there is stuff that's going on in Austin that can't be replicated in the home. They're creating events at a comfortable environment that makes you want to go back. We need to see more of that. That is too rare for the cinemas now. Okay. Post COVID, we need more of that. That's how cinemas are going to survive, because just rolling out the sticky floors and the crappy screens and the overpriced candy, people are going to stay home and watch it on their TVs because it's not worth it. So if they start replicating what Carl's getting in Austin around the country, people will go. People will be blown away. It will blow people away, even like us that have a home theater. That's the stuff, I believe that's the stuff we were talking about and that we're looking for, and make it more accessible. I have to drive like an hour and a half to find a Dolby Cinema theater, and I'm in Massachusetts. I'm only an hour from Boston, but by the time I get there, it takes a long time, and they need to make that more accessible. So, great comment. The last comment I'll say that Carl said, I love this quote. Quote, one of my top two events of 2020 next to maybe the Tesla battery day. It really made my year. Carl, thank you very much. Thankful on Infinite Podcast event made the top two events of the year and made his year. I read that and I think of, yeah, this is why I was nervous when I started this. You opened that podcast. This is why if you look at me on the video, I read that because I had to write it ahead of time. I would have just lost my mind sitting there and trying to introduce everybody. I am nowhere near the professional that clearly Rob H is, and how he emceed that entire thing, and watching him work, watching all of these guys work, watching Tom, watching Ara, watching Braden and Lee, and just their comfortableness, and me sitting there like, look at me. It's like, oh, my turn to talk. Oh, all right. But had a blast. And that was a great event. Obviously, I've seen an uptick in my numbers, what little numbers I can find. But it was a great event, and I thank everybody for all the notes, all the emails, everything that, you know, all the support that I've received. Thank you, thank you. So let's move on. This week, new Twitter followers this week. It's been a couple weeks, so we've had a big week. New Twitter followers are AV Trade Talk, Keith Mayer, Good Gravy Conway, J. Conway, J. S. Christian, Ariel, Am I Doing This Right, American Tech Home, Nicholas, Bob, and Siva, S-I-V-A, I believe that's how you say that. All new Twitter followers, thank you for following, and welcome to Brightside Home Theater Community, or the Home Theater Community, I should say. We had no movie recommendations. It's been 2 weeks, and if I missed one and it came in and I didn't put it in my notes, I apologize. Just send it to me again, but no movie recommendations this week. Twitter and email comments from VW Brew on Twitter, at Brightside HT, watched A New Hope 4K. First thought was just so-so. But boy, Empire is a huge upgrade. The Atmos track is incredible. It made me feel freezing cold during the Hoth scene. Space scenes are deep jet black. Disney Plus version, not even close. Yeah, the physical versions of those look so much better than any streaming service, obviously. But yeah, that Hoth scene, I think between the picture itself and really the 4K, the HDR, bringing those colors out, really giving you that feel of cold. I felt during that scene like I felt cold on my neck. They did a really good job with that one. Andrew J. updated his featured theater with this comment. I have since added my Andrew Jones rear bookshelf speakers and wanted to put the model number of the Yamaha subwoofer, model number YST-SW40. Haven't watched a movie lately, but The Mandalorian each week sounds amazing. Yeah, the Mandalorian is very good this year. If you remember Andrew J., go to the website. You could check out his featured theater, and it had one picture. He's in between homes, I believe, and he has just that one. He's waiting to grow his theater, but he threw in some rear speakers, so he added that. Reginald Boyd, new pick to theater on 11/27/20, and it's a picture of him in front of his gear. Pretty cool. Added that in. Adriano on Twitter, talking about my last episode, The Fifth Element. He says, I love the visual flavor of this movie. It has a very unique vision of the future. Having rewatched the Blu-ray a couple months back, what impresses me still is how good the practical effects and costumes of this movie hold up. And yeah, when I was watching that movie, I agree with you. It all holds up because it's all so like bizarre. So there's no time, you can't say like, well, that was the fashion back then because this is a movie about the future. But they did such a good job. And then seeing it in the 4K and those costumes and everything really just jump off the screen with that HDR. Really, really cool. And that gets us to this week's featured theater. This week's featured theater comes from Darnell Lee. And Darnell emailed me. He says, hey, DJ, my name is Darnell. I found your show a while back when I put together my theater and was looking for like-minded individuals / content to listen to. I'm not finished, whoever is in this hobby. He says that, not me. I didn't interject that. I want to upgrade my receiver from a Denon 7.2 to a 9.2 and add 2 Atmos speakers. Then paint the room a dark gray and black and add theater seating. Then maybe, just maybe, I'll be done for a while. Laughing face. And I will interject. No, you won't. I've included a few pics of the screen, 120-inch 235-1 Stewart. I have a Denon 4K 7.2 receiver, a Sony 4K A2800 Blu-ray player, a Panamax 5400 power conditioner, an AC Infinity front-blowing component cooler, and waiting on the new Xbox in a week or two. The concession area has candy dishes, popcorn machine, nacho warmer, snow cone maker, cotton candy maker, and a beverage cooler. And of course, various movie posters, props, and signed autographed film scripts. I hope you like it. And I will say, before I go through the pictures, I love it. This man after my own heart, he has, as we were talking about in the Infinite podcast, I have a lot of, quote, memorabilia in my theater, and his rivals mine. He has a ton of memorabilia. I labeled this memorabilia theater, and I almost called it memorabilia cinema, so they both ended in A, but I figured with my Boston accent, that I'm trying to get rid of, my Boston accent, memorabilia theater kind of rolls off the tongue anyways. So there you go. And I should even spell it that way, but I won't. So you have to listen to the podcast to get the accent, not just read it. So let's go through the pictures. You can find the pictures on the website at brightsidehometheater.com and just click on memorabilia theater and you'll find it right there. And let's see, the first picture, it looks like it's a tapestry and it's got all like movie, like almost like the Blu-ray covers on it. It's pretty cool. Good Will Hunting, Silence of the Lambs. I think that's my wife's favorite movie of all time. Schindler's List, The Departed, Million Dollar Baby. Love that movie. Forrest Gump, Titanic, Gladiator, Parasite. All great. I mean, just cool. This, I think that's what it is. Like a tapestry or a blanket or something. It's pretty cool. And then the next one is same thing. It's another one. You got Jaws on there, Scarface, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Terminator. First Terminator. They Live, great movie. Then the next picture, you scroll down and we have A Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Carrie, and The Exorcist. These are all, I'm assuming these are all framed, signed scripts. Pretty cool. That is awesome looking. And I love, you know, the thick frame. So yeah, that is a script showing exactly what it is in there. Though that's awesome. That's something I haven't seen in a theater. That's pretty cool. The next picture I really like as well goes with this week's podcast too, with Batman Returns. So these here, Gotham Globe, Winged Freak Terrorizes Gotham's Gangland, and a wanted picture of Jack Napier, all from Batman 89. Really, really cool. I'd love to read those articles there. Do me a favor, Darnell. Can you get a close-up of that and of that Winged Freak Terrorizes Gotham's Gangland? I'll post it to the website as well, but I would love to be able to get a picture where I could actually read what's on that page. That is really cool. And the same with the Gotham Globe. I don't know what's in next to the wanted picture. That would be cool to add. The picture below that, we have Daily Planet, Caped Wonder, Stunned City from Superman. We also have Apollo Creed versus Rocky Balboa, Thursday, January 1st, 1976. Pretty cool. And I like how the pictures kind of flow right into the next one, because if you go to the next one, you can see it's a picture of the Avengers there, and then you have Mulan next to it. But right from the picture before, you could see the tops of those, so I thought that was pretty funny. But in this picture here, he has a theater chair and the clapboard there. I have, I think, that identical chair. I have two of them at the back of my theater. I actually have four of them, but there's two in my theater at the back corner. I have pillows in them. And I have that clapboard as well. And right next to that, you could see he has his candy up there, Reese's Pieces. Then he has combos underneath. I believe that's the cooler on underneath that or something like that. But I have that exact chair. They're great props for your theater. And I bought four of them for the back row. So instead of having a bar, I put four chairs back there. So everybody in the four people in the back, say for a Super Bowl party, everybody's all set. I can put a fourth row, or third row, I should say, of four people sitting up above the row in front of them. I'm not sure what Darnell does with his, but they are a great prop in the room. Pretty cool. In next picture, we have more framed scripts. We have Black Panther and Captain America. Awesome. Funko's on top for each movie. Pretty cool. Bad Boys poster. And on the right side, underneath that, we have Thor Ragnarok and Deadpool framed scripts. Also, so much memorabilia. Signed and autographed framed scripts. I have not seen that in a theater. That is pretty, pretty cool. Next scene after that, we have picture looking at his couch. You can see the projector up there. Curtains all around, darkening the room. Really nice. Picture after that, we have Wonder Woman 1984. Very pertinent. Can't wait for Christmas Day. Great poster. Picture after that, we have the concession stand. So then we have, oh, okay, I see. Now I understand what was under the Bad Boys. So we have the beverage cooler here on the left. I'm pointing at it like you guys can see what I'm pointing at. He has a theater rope too. Nice. Oh, I love the theater rope and the chairs over here in the corner. Awesome. This is awesome. This is the kind of setup I wanted to have just outside my theater. And he's got the popcorn machine. He's got the nachos warmer. He went all out. This is incredible. So much fun. People must walk in here and they don't know whether to sit down and watch a movie or just start eating. This is so much fun. It must be a blast to bring people in here. Next picture after that, we have the picture of the screen. 120-inch Stewart film screen. Love their product. I have one as well. Mine's 16x9. This looks gorgeous. Looks like the same frame I have. Beautiful. Got the posters on either side. And the next picture pulled back, looking at the whole front of the room. If you scroll back and forth between these, you could see he has the little glass or clear Dolby Digital DTS:X. In the top picture of the screen, you can see the Dolby True HD one is kind of lit up. I actually thought that was on the wall till I scrolled down and saw all four of them sitting there, two on either side of his center channel. Really, really cool setup. speakers towed in nicely. Oh, this must sound amazing. Looks amazing. Presentation is everything to me. My theater, I love when people come in and they're like looking around at all the little knickknacks. And Darnell has way more to look at in his theater. And then when the lights go down, that you can't see that stuff. But wow, what a picture. What a screen. This is a great theater. Thank you very much, Darnell. This was a blast to go through. If you're just listening to this podcast, I highly recommend going and checking out this theater. Like, we check out all the theaters. Lots to look at. Lots of little knickknacks in the corners to point out. Like any of the scenes that I talk about in movies, there's more to behold. So enjoy. If you'd like to have your theater featured, I'm running out, guys. I think I've only got one more. So get your theater in. I have one more to go in the queue. We'll do that next week. But if you'd like to get your theater featured, email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Or you can DM me on Twitter. Those are the best two ways. And on Twitter, it's brightsidehT. So either one, great. Give me a small description. Give me a large description. It doesn't matter. And send me a picture or a bunch of pictures. That doesn't matter either. And we'll watch it grow. If you just want to send one picture like Andrew did earlier, and then we add on as you upgrade or move and get to a, you know, where you can have your dedicated theater, whatever. I plan to run the website for a while and we'll watch it grow. So that sounds like a lot of fun. But yeah, just email me or tweet at me on DM, please. Because if you do it through regular Twitter, it's just harder to find the pictures later. That brings us to this week's featured movie, and it's Batman Returns from 1992 in 4K. I chose this. I'm going to try to do all holiday-themed movies this month. This one here definitely has a holiday theme. It's Christmas throughout. It's snowing. It really gives you that feel. It was a blast to watch. It was a blast to go through, and this 4K restoration looks amazing. It was really, really well done. I don't want to spoil too much more if you haven't seen the movie, but I did really enjoy it. I already put that out on Twitter. So without further ado, we'll play the trailer and I'll get into it.
I've been down here too long. It's time for me to ascend.
From the sewers of Gotham, a new villain emerges.
You didn't invite me, so I crashed!
From the rooftops of Gotham, the perfect enemy comes to life. And the only one who can save this city is a creature of the night.
Hey, Stud. I thought we had something together.
We do.
While she craves a romance she can sink her claws into,
you're catnip to a girl like me.
He plots a foul reign of destruction.
My dear penguins, thanks to Batman, the time has come to punish all of Gotham!
You missed.
Above Gotham looms its greatest hero.
And dare I say, above all comic book movies, looms Batman Returns. I don't know if it's the greatest comic book movie ever, but I did get that feel after watching this a few times. It really, I've forgotten how good this movie really was and still is. And this 4K restoration, it looks really, really good. Let's get right into the picture because it really is the story here. The sound, really good. We'll get to that in a second. But this movie, for if you haven't seen this in a while or you've never seen it, just look at the cover. Look at any of the movie posters. It tells you it's like it's practically monochromatic. It feels mostly black and white, obviously with a hint of blue to it, you know, for the night sky or whatever, because it's not a black and white movie, but it's very much monochromatic in most of the scenes. I get to a couple of the colorful scenes in when we get into spoilers. But this movie was really, it was what HDR was made for, because there's such extreme blacks and such extreme brights and whites throughout, and just in the costumes. I'll get into a few of those. But the color, when it is there, it really, really pops in this for the HDR. And also, there's an added depth of field, if you could put a word to it or a phrase, a depth of field to this movie that I hadn't felt before. And there's one particular scene that I'm thinking of right now, but again, we'll get into that with spoilers. But if you don't own this movie, but you're a Batman fan, you haven't seen it in a while, or you're a comic book fan, this kind of is the epitome of a comic book movie. You know, we have the MCU, we have the recent movies, but you forget what this was like. This was 1992, and what they've done with this movie since then, this upgrade in picture and sound is really a tribute to what they could do back then, what they were thinking back then with sound, and we get it in all its glory now. And let's get into a little bit of that sound and the Dolby Atmos and how it really upgraded over what we had heard before. I thought the dialogue was crystal clear. I thought the bass extension really good, really great bass throughout this movie. We'll get into a few of those. Lots of discrete channel use as well. Too many to mention. There's too many throughout this movie. This is another one of those movies that from beginning to end, it's just fun how they use the sound, how it moves around the room, different sounds popping up in all the different channels, lots of pans. You know, I'm a big fan of pans. And there's a really cool drawn out bass rumble slash vibration that happens throughout this movie. There's one we'll get to very, very shortly. It's right in the open, but there's one that really lasts. All in all, I can't recommend this enough. I'm a huge Batman fan anyways. If you guys know me from my other podcast, I love comic books. I love all this. And this one here is really a lot of fun. A lot of fun to own, and there's plenty in there for a home theater fan as well. Tons of stuff. So with that, let's get into that tons of stuff. We got the popcorn popping. That means we're getting into spoilers. So let's get into some of these spoilers. And we'll start with the opening scene like we always do. Just turned out that way that we're going to talk about the opening, whether it's good or not. And this one is great. Especially for a home theater fan. That's what I mean, good or not, for home theater fans. So this one here is really nice opening with deep bass notes in the score. The music is also moving around the stage. I closed my eyes a couple times and played this back, and you can hear the different instruments. They're actually moving. I can't remember what instruments that they were. Not that I would probably even know if I was still listening to it right now, but I do remember the sound moving almost like in a counterclockwise in front of me, going from right to left. And I was making a note, as a matter of fact, at this point, and I looked down. I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. So check out that. The HDR is evident right off the bat, right here. I mean, the scene, opening scenes are almost black and white with that tint of blue that I talked about. But that snow falling against the black night is really, really nice. And at the 3 minute mark, we get that long rumble I talked about 2 seconds ago. Check out the bass right at that 3 minute mark, and it just keeps on going. Your seat is vibrating under you. I'm listening to all of these at reference levels. So if you want to get that vibration, and you have your subs placed appropriately, you've got to turn it all the way up, and you know, your seat will be vibrating like crazy. It's really, really cool. And it happens a few more times in the opening sequence, but right there at around, like I said, the 3 minute mark, you get that nice long rumble. At 6 minutes and 35 seconds, Red's HDR here is really nice. So Alfred's walking down the street and he's carrying gifts, and the gift that he's carrying is Red, really pops off the screen. I think this is like the first time there's real color in the movie, because everything up until now has been pretty much that monochromatic look all throughout. Check out the Christmas lights in the background too. They really pop like I haven't seen before. But also, getting back to just the HDR itself, check out the different color of grays in Alfred's winter coat and the texture on Alfred's winter coat. It's like, that's that, to me, that's what HDR is about. Being able to have that full gamut right there, or as much as you can have. I'm listening and watching through a projector, so I'm not getting the same thing as a OLED, but it's all relative. This is what I'm used to. And if I get a great image and it gets to go through my projector, it's going to look as good as that projector can do. And the images that I'm seeing here are just, they look so nice. And the different shades of gray that you get there that I haven't noticed before. At 8 minutes and 1 second, roughly, Max meeting. In this scene here, we're in Max Schreck's office, played by Christopher Walken, who was fantastic in this. I can't imagine Max Schreck being anybody else, because it basically is just Christopher Walken. Do your best Christopher Walken imitation and you get Max Schreck. But anyways, the different grays that I was just talking about are very apparent here too. But what I liked is at exactly the 8 minutes and 1 second mark, the camera changes to a view outside of the building. So we started out, we're in the room, you're probably not paying attention, but you're hearing the ventilation system or the heating units or whatever. And basically you get that ambient sound of being in that meeting room. And what I mean by you're not really paying attention to the ambient sounds is because most of the time you aren't. But then suddenly the camera moves to outside the room and you're looking in through a window. So now you're literally outside, but the sound changes to the ambient sounds of being outside, where we can hear the wind and the traffic, and it switches back inside again. And we, you know, so you get to hear that sound, the inside the room sound, but it's a huge contrast right there in sound, in ambient sound that changes. It was really, really cool. Something that if they didn't do, you would never care. You wouldn't notice the difference. You'd just think the scene went on and it would sound completely normal. But when they add something in like that, I think it's definitely worth noting, because that's pretty cool. Also, at the end of this scene, check out the pretty cool pans that we get as everyone's getting up at the, you know, on each side of the room. You'll hear the people picking up their stuff to leave the meeting and they're walking out, but you hear it on those sides of the room. It's pretty cool too. At 12 minutes even, not mine. Here we get the first action scene where they're lighting the tree and the chaos breaks out as Penguin's henchmen, you know, wreak havoc on the city. And the not mine comes from Schreck saying, these aren't my guys, that's not mine. So he has nothing to do with this. But a lot of great bass here, good gunfire, score really filling the room, just a lot of fun, just a really fun scene that really takes over the room for sound. Atmos really kicks in here. At 13 minutes and 51 seconds, still the kind of the same scene, but now the Batmobile is racing to the scene and we get a great pan from the right rear of the room to the front of the room, and really nice deep bass. And you could feel that Batmobile go right by you on the right side. Tons of great pans throughout this scene. Very dynamic scene. It's worth bookmarking for sure. At 17 minutes and 49 seconds, the Arctic world, that's Penguin's world, and we're brought there by flying in. It's Schreck is being brought there himself, but we're brought in to Penguin's lair by flying in, but the HDR here really separates the dark backgrounds from some of the things that we're looking at, some of the things as we're flying in, and it's almost 3D. It gives a really nice depth of field, but you're moving into it, and the full screen helps too. That 1.85 to 1 ratio that I, you know, there's no black bars at the top and bottom. It's just your full, almost like IMAX type screen, really helps enhance that effect as well. I even found myself leaning and tilting my head to compensate for my chair moving, like I'm on a ride, but my chair, of course, wasn't moving. At 23 minutes and 55 seconds, the answering machine. This is the scene where Selena's walking around her apartment. She's getting her stuff or whatever. She just got home. But close your eyes in this scene. And once you've queued it up to this, that timestamp, 23:55, and listen to how the sound from the machine, including the rewinding of the tape, you'll hear, even that starts out on the left side because she hits the button and walks by and it actually moves. All the sounds are appropriately placed in the room to where they are on the screen. And this scene here is pretty cool because her mother leaves a message and then she gets a few other messages. But as she's walking around the apartment, the answering machine is changing its position on the screen or relative to her, and it's moving around the room. It's pretty cool. Great use of detail here. Like, I think it was Goonies, I think, where the sound never changed. It was always over on the right side, but the camera was panning all over, and I think it was the gutter spout or something in Goonies. So I love it when they're accurate. 28 minutes and 17 seconds out the window. Quick scene here as Selena is shoved out the window by Shrek, but a nice, loud, crystal clear window smashing sound followed by some cool pans as she falls really quickly. She's like, but they go right by you like you're falling with her. She goes through a tarp or, you know, a canopy and lands in the alley below. But then it's pretty cool, too, as the cats all come up to her and you can hear the cats coming from all around your room. It's really, really nice effect there. And watched closely, too, for the twitching. I hadn't seen that, her twitching as the cats are attacking her. Not really attacking her, but I guess they're saving her life. But really, really cool scene. At 31 minutes and 29 seconds, Catwoman. Check out the bass rumbles throughout this transformation as Selena transforms to Catwoman. You know, she's going through her apartment. She's looking for stuff to make her costume. Cool use of directional and discrete sound, but the rolling deep vibrations were really cool. That we get more of those throughout this scene. Really, those are the ones I really wanted to make note of. At 43 minutes and 30 seconds, one of my favorite scenes in the movie, "It's my first time." That was the line that Selena gave. And here we have Michelle Pfeiffer in her first appearance as Catwoman. I had to have this scene here. I love this scene, but now with the 4K and the HDR, it's a fantastic scene. Take a look at the close-up pic that I tweeted out the other day and look at the different textures just in that one still shot. And it's like Michelle's skin looks so soft and pale, yet at different parts of her face, you could see the pores in her face. It looks so, I mean, the detail here is so good. And all of that is against the texture of that black leather, pleather, or whatever, latex, that shiny look around her face. But the detail in the stitching as well, where they probably could have gotten away with some white paint, a la, you know, a Sharpie eye on a shark from Jaws. But they didn't. You can actually see some of them, the puncture marks in the leather. Or latex or whatever it is. Her red lips. Look at her lips and the detail in the, like, the cracks in her lips. Not that they're not moist or whatever, but look at her lips and the detail in that. There's one part you can actually see the difference between the lipstick and then her lips. The detail in her eyeshadow. You could see how the makeup was put on. It looks so good. It doesn't look overdone. It doesn't look like it was done for a movie. It looks like it was done by her to be Catwoman, like the woman going out to be the Catwoman. And then even getting into her eyes, look at like how shiny her eyeball is, the detail you have there, contrasted by her pale, very pale skin and the whites of her eyes. And then even the little veins in her eyes really popping off the screen. Getting into that depth of field stuff I was talking about. Her back shoulder is slightly out of focus. That's her left shoulder is out of focus, but her right shoulder is kind of in focus, but her arm that's reaching forward, that goes out of focus. So clearly all the focus is on her face and everything, but it's such an extreme close up and it looks so, so good. And then the sound in this scene too, as she, you know, that's just, I just talked about that still shot, but the scene as it plays out, she approaches and then she attacks the mugger. And every punch is so deep, nice base shots with every punch, every strike when she finally attacks. The dialogue is crystal clear, whether she's talking before she attacks or she's talking to the woman that was being attacked. Just a really, really great scene. Definitely one to mark, definitely one to play over and over. Michelle Pfeiffer looks fantastic, of course, but the demonstration of the HDR here is just so, so good. At 44 minutes and 53 seconds. This is another really quick one. I really, really like this one though. The commissioner's report. Bruce Wayne throws the commissioner's report across the table to Shrek, and the sound of the loose papers, you know, like the book of, you know, the report going across the room goes perfectly. It pans perfectly. It sounds exactly like it would sound like if he was throwing it to you. It sounded really, really cool. At 54 minutes and 21 seconds, we have a poodle bomb. Don't alert Peter. The poodle got out alive, but he brought the bomb into the store, and then the poodle leaves. The bomb goes off, and then it sets off a whole bunch of others throughout the city. A bunch of stores blow up, but really, really nice bass notes here. Really cool scene if you're a bass head. A lot of fun in this scene. Really feel it in your seat and in your chest, as a matter of fact. At 56 minutes even, we have what I call the one flaw in this movie. I love to find these things. I labeled this one heels, and it's hard to do cartwheels in high heels, I guess, because the stunt person doing the cartwheels is clearly wearing flat shoes as she does the cartwheels through the store, flat shoes or sneakers. And then magically, when Catwoman jumps towards you and lands on her feet and they get a close-up of her, what in 5-inch heels. It's you can see she's wearing 5-inch heels, but when you get to that scene, go back, watch her do the cartwheels, and you'll see she's in flats. Pretty funny. At 57 minutes and 20 seconds, we have three things here. First, we get a Wilhelm scream. If you don't know what that is, Google it. But a Wilhelm scream's in all the Star Wars movies. It's canned scream. Anyways, second, the Wilhelm scream has a great pan because Batman grabs this guy and he throws him off the edge, like over the wall. And the scream goes from the center of your screen down the right side of your room. So it really feels like he just took off to the right. It's just like he's flying away because Batman threw him. And third, Batman, without a doubt, kills. A lot of people are against this. They weren't at the time, but nowadays if Batman kills somebody, there's a big argument on Twitter. But nobody mentioned it back then because we didn't have Twitter. But Batman kills because he takes a guy, takes the dynamite bomb, stuffs it in his pants, and throws him into a shaft, and the guy blows up. So Batman definitely kills in this movie. At 58 minutes and 59 seconds, that last one was for my buddy John. At 58 minutes and 59 seconds, meow. What a great explosion, or multiple explosions, reminds me of, or actually rivals, the explosion in T2 when they blew up Cyberdyne. So this is where, you know, Catwoman comes out of the store and she does her little backflips all the way over to Batman and Penguin. And right after she says meow, the store's behind her blows up. But there were so many explosions. It was like boom, 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 boom. Much like that explosion in T2 when they blew up Cyberdyne. But this one here, just really, really cool, really great bass. The explosion starts at the front of your room and then wraps around you and fills the room. Then they end the scene. I believe it's Penguin that flies away with a helicopter, but the helicopter circles overhead. Great use of Atmos there. at 1 hour and 30 seconds. Costumes, I call this. Check out the detail here that it's brought to us via 4K and HDR, but the detail in Catwoman's and Batman's costumes. Catwoman's costume, like I said, that latex, that shine, that everything about it, how beautiful it looks, how crisp everything looks. And then they go to a close up of Batman and look at his costume, how flat everything looks, the texture of the whatever Batman's is made out of. You don't know if it's rubber or whatever kind of material that's bulletproof or whatever he's using, but his costume is really flat, has a completely different texture. And then her costume, so shiny, you know, such a contrast. Both, they're both black, but what a difference in contrast. And something I really haven't noticed to this degree until now. At 1 hour, 24 minutes and 26 seconds, car crashes. Really cool here. Really cool use of all the channels in the room. But Penguin's kind of overtaken the Batmobile with Batman in it. And he's just driving down the road. And especially this part of the scene when he goes down and all the cars, he splits the road and cars are hitting on both sides of the Batmobile. And both sides of your room, I have cars going, crashing and going by you. Really, really cool. At times it feels like you're inside the Batmobile. There's other things going on in the scene. They cut away to other parts or other camera pans and you'll get a different sound. But this one particular sound going down the road, you can really feel those cars going by. At 1 hour, 28 minutes and 24 seconds, sunlight. This is one of those scenes where I'm talking about the color in this movie. So awesome, awesome color in this scene. We're here in the Wayne Manor with Bruce and Alfred, and you have the Christmas tree and everything that's going on in the Wayne Manor. And take that against the rest of the movie, which is relatively monochromatic and dark and dreary. Actually, I shouldn't say dreary now that I think of it. That's not fair, because dreary to me is like a dullish tone. And this movie is very dark, but it's not dreary. It's not dullish. It's very sharp. So maybe dreary isn't the right word. But anyways, back to this scene here. And we're in the Wayne Manor and awesome use of color. And check out the warm woods, like the wood finish around the room. It's very warm. And the maroon couch in the background, you could kind of see over to the side. Everything is really popping. And the beautiful, beautiful Christmas tree and the gifts underneath. But the colors in the tree, the lights and everything. The entire room is just such a contrast to the rest of the movie. But the reason I named this scene sunlight is as Bruce, they're looking at Bruce and Alfred, and the tree is in the background on the left. And it's almost like the camera is inside where, you know, that tomb thing that Bruce is going to get in to go down to the Batcave with all the spikes in it. But anyways, you're looking at them, but check out the ray of sunlight coming in from left to right, almost from like 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock on your screen. And it's really, really stood out to me like it never has before. And I mean, aside from all the beautiful colors in this one particular scene, you also get that. It looked really nice, really jumped out to me. At 1 hour, 44 minutes and 2 seconds, CGI, it's the best thing I could call this. This is the only really wonky thing as far as CGI in this movie. Check out the super obvious CGI in the water as they try to show that the little penguins are swimming by or swimming away. So I think penguins on the little island in the middle, and then all the little penguins are supposed to be jumping in and swimming away to go do their thing with the rockets. And they just kind of like drew these lines, arrows in the water. You'll see what I mean when you see the scene, but it's pretty funny. It's pretty bad in a movie that's been really, really good throughout. At 1 hour, 45 minutes, and 13 seconds, dodged that. That's the best I could come up with for a title for this scene. But this is Batman's coming down the sewer tunnel in what's like a bat boat slash bat plane slash sewer vehicle. I don't know. But a bunch of rockets get launched at him, and he's got to dodge them, but he's in a sewer, so he can only go like around in a circle. But the way they panned the sound in your room really felt like the good use of the Atmos to give you that feel of the pans of the rockets going by. But as they were going by, you'd get that swoosh, but it would go from almost like below you to above you. It was really, really cool. It's hard to describe because I'm not used to, I can't even think of how you would do a pan like that, but definitely check that out at 1 hour, 45 minutes and 13 seconds. It's pretty cool use of overheads here to incorporate that feel. At 1 hour, 50 minutes and 33 seconds, rocket launches. So this is where, you know, the Penguins launch all their rockets, but you also have a ton of stuff going on in this scene. Bats flying all around. We have explosions, characters in and out of the water, because I think Penguin's in there or Shrek is in there. Somebody jumps in to say, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly how it goes, but I just know that like the sound all around your room is crazy in this scene. Really, really well done. Full engagement all around you. And I just found myself sitting up at this scene. Not that I was like dozing off or anything, but I felt myself more engaged here because the sounds and everything that was going on really grabs you in this. This is, you know, we're getting to the end of the movie here. At 1 hour, 52 minutes and 40 seconds, Better Days. The cat suit has seen better days. Check out the detail here, because I've been raving about the cat suit up until now and how good it looked. But check it out now. She's been beaten. You know, her hair's all a mess and her hair's all out because that mask is off. But check out how it's dull now in places. It's ripped. Obviously, it's ripped. The detail that you could see in the wear and tear on her is never been more evident. Really, really cool. It's such a change in tone and textures that I haven't seen that before. From beginning to, I always knew she was ripped and stuff and worn, but the way the 4K and the HDR and what we were so accustomed to and how good it looked throughout the movie, and now you get to see all that detail in the wear and tear, it's such a contrast, and you didn't get that before. You just didn't. At 1 hour, 55 minutes and 8 seconds, how about a kiss? This is where, you know, Selena kisses Shrek, finally kills him, gets him back for him killing her, throwing her out the window. But just great bass, great score, and great HDR here. The room vibrates with the bass as Selena kisses and electrocutes Shrek, and the highs of the score and the sounds of the sparks are really clear while the bass is punching you and vibrating in the seat. But the HDR is spectacular as well, because you have those sparks flying, which is with a relatively dark background, but you could still see all the detail in that background, all the while those sparks are going off and there's, you know, bright blooming going on from the, you know, the sparking or whatever she's doing, electrocuting him. It's just a fun scene to watch a few times because you'll hear different things, but you'll also see different things. Look around the screen. There's so much detail there. And the HDR throughout this movie has really shined. No pun intended. Or maybe it is. And the movie ends as it began. It's with the snowfall against the night sky. But now we have Bruce looking for Selena. And I remember in 92 hoping for a sequel, but nowadays we know we're not getting anything. We never got another movie, another Tim Burton Batman. But I mean, it was, I loved this movie. I'd forgotten how good it was. And it's a great movie to start the Christmas season off with. It's a great Christmas movie. It is a great Christmas movie. There's a lot of giving here. You could see all the presents people are trying to give before they get blown up. So it's a great Christmas movie. That'll do it for the first week of December. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the podcast, if you've just heard about me through the Thankful on Infinite podcast that we did on Thanksgiving, then thank you for giving me a shot. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. This is what I try to do every week. And as always, if you want to find me, you can always find me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at thebrightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And you can find all of my old podcasts on Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. Go to nerdylegion.com, just click on podcasts, you'll see Brightside Home Theater, click on that, and you can scroll through, find every single podcast that I've done for the last, just over a year now. So you can catch them all there, and I am also trying to get them, I add more and more every week, I'm going backwards to try and get them all onto my website as well, at Brightside Home Theater. But if you have any questions, you could, like I said, you can always contact me on Twitter or email me. or DM me on Twitter. Love the conversation. Appreciate any and all comments. And yeah, if you want to send a review, you can either send it to me, you can put it on iTunes or whatever platform you use. Just if you do put it on any of those platforms, email it to me so I can post it on the website, because I want a place to go so everybody can see what you guys are saying, good or bad. As you could tell by my second one, I've only gotten one bad review. I'm not going to complain because it motivates me. If it's constructive, I'll work with it. But thanks for listening. Happy holidays. Have a great week. I'll be back next week. Until then, go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.